Now I'll read verses 15 through 20 for your consideration. Supporting text this morning coming from 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, and a very familiar passage, St. John 3 and 16. In the 29th chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 15, you will find these words. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. 6th chapter, verse 20. The Bible declares, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Very familiar passage, John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. True love comes at a cost. True love comes at a cost. This morning, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So we thank God for an opportunity to just give him glory and to praise his holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank the Lord for another day's journey, and we're just going to move along as swiftly as we can. We just thank God. We don't like to make any excuses or any apologies. We just got to do what we got to do. And so we'll push it out however it comes on out this morning. But God is a mighty good God. And so we are thankful to God for just an opportunity to stand this morning. And we say to the people of God this morning, don't take it lightly that God has blessed you another day to just be alive. And now that you're here in the house of God, we come to God's house to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we realize that all of us don't praise or worship God in the same manner, but we do serve and praise the same God. So however you are used to serving God, you need to do that, but you ought to let the Lord know that you're on his side and you thank him and that you have been dependent on him to do what he's already done. And then there's so many things that we still want the Lord to do. So I wonder this morning, are we aware of what a blessing it is for us just to be here on this first Sunday morning? First Sunday of the year, and actually I thought that we have more folk here this morning because a lot of folk have the mindset that I'm going to try to start the year off right. So I guess some of them decide I'm going to pick up where I left off. But that's each one got to work out their own soul salvation. I found out that those that want to be here are here, and when you come, you got to praise God for where the Lord said, where two or three gather, that he would be in the midst. So I thank God for the two or three that had a mind to say, I come to tell God thank you. And I want the Lord to know that I want his blessings upon me throughout this new year. When we start out a new year, it's a time of new beginnings and a time of soul searching. And that's the things that we do within ourselves. Many have made or are making resolutions as to what we want to do differently than what we done last year. We make promises to God and promises to ourselves of things that we've already prayed about and we pondered over. And we've been thinking about these things for quite a while. And a lot of time throughout the end of last year, we were talking about, well, when the first of the year come, I'm going to do this. When the first of the year come, I'm going to do that. But we got to be sure that when we make these promises to God, King Solomon tells us that it is better that we should not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. We shared that thought with the people of God on New Year's Eve and told them, don't say it if you don't mean it. If you don't have no intent on doing no better, just thank God that you are who you are. Then if you have a desire to do better, then you still got to ask God, Lord, help me along the way. Then you got to understand, because the way life is, you got to ask the Lord, or just include in your statement, if the Lord will, then I will. Because I can't do it all by myself. Anybody know that you need the Lord to help you along the way? Anybody glad that the death train didn't pick you up this morning? You may have had intent on coming this morning, but it could have been the other way. But thanks be to a loving God, God allowed us another opportunity to come. And so we just thank God that we are looking for better days. We are looking for the Lord God to do what he done all over the year last year. He blessed us over and over again. And I wonder, do you know and understand that the God that we serve is an unchanging God? So if God is unchanged, if God has all power, then the same way that he blessed you in 2015, he is able to do the same thing in 2016. What we got to learn is that we got to trust God with everything that we have. And then when we begin to start out the new year, there's always this scripture in St. Matthew 6 and 33 that I like to share. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things shall be added unto you. And that parable deals with when you're worried about food and when you're worried about clothing, you're worried about shelter. If you know God to be your God, if God is your shepherd, then I believe that the Lord will supply all of your needs. But that's what the Bible declared, that every need you have, God will supply it according to his riches in glory. There are a lot of things that you might have wanted last year that you didn't get. And there are a lot of things that you may still want this year you still might not get. But if you got the thing that you need, you still got something to tell the Lord thank you for. Is there anybody here just glad that God is who he is? For we got to learn that the Lord God told us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and learn to live it one day at a time. We got to stop stressing ourselves out about things that we can't have any control over. Then we got to stop worrying so much about our tomorrow and just thank God for what God is going to do today. When you woke up this morning, you need to thank God, for every day is a day of thanksgiving. So when you wake up day by day, you ought to thank God for another day's journey. And it's all right to make plans. It's all right to have your mindset about things that you're wanting to do. But always put God first. Always allow what the Lord God will have you to do to be your most important factor. Because if it's not going to benefit you in a godly manner, then it might not be something that you really need to do. We've got to learn how to trust God with everything that we have. For he is a loving God, and God is a God that we can all depend on this morning. He is that kind of God, that if we would trust him, if we would praise him, if we would humble ourselves at his very feet, then the Lord God would do what nobody else can do. God is able this morning. We want God to know that we are not here for form or fashion. We are not here just for somebody to say that I was in the house of God on the first Sunday, but somebody came to receive a blessing. Somebody came to tell God thank you for what he's already done. Somebody came to let the Lord know that I realize that if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be where I am right now. God is able this morning. We want the Lord God to know that he is that kind of God. Ushers, would you let the people in? God is that kind of God this morning that tells us that if we would trust him, then he would do those things that needs to be done in our very lives. And so we got to understand this morning, as we come into this household of faith, we come for the main purpose of magnifying and lifting up the name of Jesus. Bow, declare, though, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So if we would bind our forces together, then we would know this morning that God will bless us. God has a love for us that is unconditional, and we need to be reminded that God will do those things that we need him to do. I'm reminded of a song that we sang many years under the leadership of Dr. Betts. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I'm so glad that so many of us here today can say that we love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, there's some problems in your life. You may not like your neighbor, but you better love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, that'll help you sort of put up with your neighbor a little bit better. And it teach you how to pray, Lord, help me to love my enemy. Help me to love that one that I don't understand. See, a lot of time we look on the outside and we sort of read the cover, but we don't know what's on the inside. See, you don't know your neighbor's story. You don't know what they had to go through to get here this morning. You don't know why it is that they have that look on their face this morning. There may be some thing going on that they just hadn't gotten worked out yet. So you are not able to read the minds of anybody. So you just need to pray ye one for another and allow the Lord's will to be done in your life. If we love Jesus, then we ought to know that we love him because he first loved us. And I found out that no matter where you go, no matter how hard you search, there is no greater love than the love of Jesus. How many of you know that the love is more than a feeling? It ought to be a way of life. We ought to be obedient to the word of God, for Jesus said, a new commandment that I leave with you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, we're not talking about lip service love or superficial love, but we are talking about true love that comes from God. We are talking about that love that God would be pleased with. And if we're going to be obedient to the word of God, then God says, love one another as I have loved you. And now, when we look at our supporting text this morning, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. And God loved us so much that he gave his only son. Now, I would call that true love. That's love with sacrifice. That's love that goes beyond measure. That's a divine love. And that love is expressed to us through his son, Jesus the Christ. He's the greatest and most meaningful revelation to all believers. If you are a believer this morning, then that scripture right there ought to make you happy of the fact of the love of God. For if God loved you enough that he would allow his only son to die in your stead, then who wouldn't serve a God like that? But God has blessed us so much and we are so spoiled that we act like we are doing things on our own. You didn't get up all by yourself this morning. It was still the power of a loving God. Now, we have some folk that got up this morning. Somebody had to help them get out of the bed and somebody got to help them put on their clothes. And that's still the power of a loving God. Because God's going to have somebody in your life that when you cannot do for yourself, you ought to live in a way that somebody don't mind coming to lend a helping hand. And then you got to be the individual that don't be so proud that you can't accept help from nobody. You got to know that your very being come from God. If it was not for God, I could not move. If it wasn't for God, I couldn't open up my mouth and a sound come out. When I think about the love of Jesus, then I can't help but tell my God, thank you. When I think about the fact that God gave his son and his son gave his life, that costs something. And so God, true love really costs you something. But we got to understand that it's more than a money figure. It's more than material things. We realize this morning that even in our interactions with one another, we find it so easy to say, I love you. But what are we willing to do for love? Are we willing to make sacrifices? Are we willing to do those things that we would consider to be true love? Do we know what it is to have and to share what we call agape love? The highest form of love, especially brotherly love. That charity and compassion that comes from God himself. You see, when you love your brother, you love God. When you love even your enemy, that's a sign that you know and love God. There are those of us in here that have learned that because of the love of God, I can even speak to that individual that don't even like me. because of the love of God, I don't have to go down the other aisle because I don't want to talk to you. I can walk and meet you face to face and nod my head or wave my hand. I don't have to eat you up, but I ought to have a mind to say hello. How are you going to say you love one another, you love God? And the Bible declares, how can you say you love me who you've never seen and you hate your brother that you see every day? What kind of love is that? We got to understand that when we talk about love, love is something that you cannot get away from. Love is something this morning that you got to understand that God himself, even through the word of God, the Bible declares in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it said, love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love don't get so puffed up that it can't speak to one another. Love do not behave itself unseemly, or neither do it seek it her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Now, these definitions come from the word. And if you don't like what the word says, that's between you and God. But I believe that the Bible declares love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. God loves the truth. When you tell the truth, then it makes God happy. When you are able to look beyond somebody's faults and say, I love you anyhow. You know how sometimes we say, I don't like your ways, but I love you. Whole lot of us can fall in that category. We may not like the thing that somebody do, but you love them anyhow. Especially sometimes when they deal with our children and our associates, there are things that they might do that cross us, or there are things that they may do to disappoint us, and we may get a little upset down in our mind, but deep in the depths of our heart, if real love is there, then we are able to bear the pain, we are able to look over that fault, and we are able to know that it's going to get better than what it is. Are you not glad that somebody loves you? Are you not glad this morning that all your love just don't come from God, just don't come from mama or daddy? What about when mama and daddy is dead and gone? If that's the only one that loves you, what you gonna do about love then? But I thank God that you can find love anywhere you go. A lot of folks think that love is in the church, but you ought to know that even out there in the street, there's some folk that love you more than the folk that you worship with. There's some folk that you don't even know by name that love you. Love is what love does. When love sees somebody down and out, love will reach down and lend an extending hand. Love will bear all things. Love will believe things. Love has hope, and love is able to endure. We act like we know what love is. But I want to talk about true love this morning, because true love comes at a cost. Now, David asked the question in the 112th division of Psalms. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What can I give God back for his love? What can I give him back for waking me up this morning? What can I give God for being my warrior and fighting my battle? Oh, the choir sang that song very well, that the Lord will fight your battle. And if God has fought your battle, then what are you going to give God back for that battle that he won for you? If there ain't anybody in here know that you got the victory only because of the love of a loving God, you got to understand that you owe God something, because God died for you. He died for your sin, sick soul. And we think about what he done on Calvary's Hill. When the Lord God bled and shed his blood, then I want to know, what are you going to do to pay God back? Paul tells us in our other supporting text, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. I think I need to slow down. For we are bought with a price. So true love comes at a cost. When you think about the fact that if you claim salvation, in order to get salvation, we know that you got to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus did die and he was raised from the dead. So now, if you believe that, then you know that you ought to give God glory in your body, in your spirit, because they both belong to God.
So when I began to think about answering the question of David, what shall I render to the Lord for his love toward me? Then I got to give God back. And don't you know God don't need your dollar bills? You can't pay God back with money. You can do the work of God in the vineyard and in the community with money. But when it comes to paying God back, the Bible declares, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So there may not be nothing that you got but you. But you ought to be able to open up your mouth and tell God, thank you. Is there anybody in here that realize that you owe God something? Don't you know that when you were bound in sin, that it was the love of God that brought you out, broke the shackles off of you, and made a way out of no way? I thank God this morning that I know that I was bought with a price. And you got to understand this morning that it's not all about you, but it's about the power of a loving God. And I just want to let you know this morning that when you think about true love, there are a lot of us go around telling folk that we love them. Love them this week and love somebody else next week. But I want to let you know that there comes a time that your love ought to be real and your love ought to be everlasting. You ought to have a love down on the inside that you are willing to give something up for that one that you love. I just somebody tell somebody about a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob was the one that tricked his brother Esau, took Esau's blessings away from him. But anybody heard what goes around comes around? Don't you know when you mistreat somebody, somebody else is going to mistreat you? When I look here in the word of God, old Jacob realized that I got to get out of here because Esau is going to mess me up. Jacob found himself going off to a faraway land. And while he was going there, they tell me that he went by and he stopped by a well. When he got there, he saw a woman by the name of Rachel. Rachel was a good-looking woman. Rachel was a woman that was doing her duty. She was out there getting ready to give the sheep some water, but the rock was in the way. But I thank God that old brother Jacob, when he looked at Rachel, anybody heard about love at first sight? He looked at Rachel and said, oh my God, if I could just have Rachel, I'd have everything that I need. So I found out that he began to go along the way. The Bible declared that he went there and he stayed there with his uncle Laban. He laid there and he began to say to him, oh, I want to let you know that I'll stay with you because I want to know, what can I do? What wages can I give you in order to get your daughter Rachel? Well, you better know that you got to realize that you got to do things in the right order. This man of God tricked Jacob. Let Jacob know that all you got to do is just stay here and work for me 7 long years. The Bible declared that Jacob worked for those 7 years, thinking that he was going to get that good-looking woman named Rachel. But he found out that when there was time for the feast, for 7 long days, they had a celebration. And as they celebrated about the wedding that was about to come, that old man Laban, he realized that I got to do the thing that I got to do. Because I got another daughter, and Leah don't look too good. Leah don't have that right kind of personality. And Leah might not be able to get nobody. But Leah is my oldest child, and I'm going to make sure she got somebody before I let Rachel go. Don't you know, every now and again, you better be able to look beyond the shadow. You got to look beyond the flesh. You got to listen between the lines. You got to know that everything that is said to you might not be true. I found out that as they were celebrating, and on that night when he was getting ready to get his wife, he went in and found out that this isn't the woman that I bargained for. This is not the one that I spent 7 long years. But I want to let you know that when you got real love down on the inside, this is what I'm talking about right now. Jacob realized that I don't care what I got to do. I'll take Leah and I'll take Rachel. But I got to have Rachel because that is the love of my life. Anybody say that's the apple of your eye? And when you see something that you feel like you got to have, how many of you give up something for the woman that you love? I want to tell somebody that old Laban came and told Jacob, that I tell you what I'll do. because you're a good man. And I love the way that you work. After the feast of celebration, I'll allow Rachel to come unto you. But in order for that to happen, you got to give me 7 more years. Don't you know it costs something to get what you want? 14 long years that this man labored in the vineyard. But if you get what you want, he said that time was short time. That somebody would have gave up. Somebody would have gotten mad. Somebody might have went upside that man's head. But something down on the inside told Jacob, if I want Rachel, I got to do what I got to do. So I thank God this morning that if you got true love, you know that love comes at a cost. You got to do what you got to do. Jacob did what he had to do. He worked out 14 long years, but he got the woman that he had in his heart. When you get that woman that you want in your heart, and you find out that everything is going to be all right, I just somebody tell somebody that if you got the love of God, love comes at a cost. And that cost was when the Lord our God went to Calvary's Hill. That's the kind of love that the Lord had. He loved us so much that there was nobody down here that were living a life that was befitting to save us from our sin-sick soul. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he realized that my son got to die in order for all of us to be able to live. Is there anybody glad that all God went up to Calvary's Hill, and he got up there on Golgotha's Hill? They stretched him high and they stretched him wide. They tell me that they pierced him in the side, and the blood that came streaming down, they beat our Lord all across his back. Love come at a cost this morning, and you ought to be glad this morning that the Lord God loves you so much that he allowed his son to be beaten, spit on, called everything but a child of God, and then gave up his life. But I thank my God that they might have put him in the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him, but he got up with all power. Is there anybody glad that the Lord got all power? Is there anybody glad that God got that kind of love? That love that comes at a cost. That love that looked beyond our fault. That love that will free us this morning and make a way out of no way. Oh, how I love Jesus, because the Lord God loves us this morning. Love comes at a cost this morning. What are you going to give up for your love for God this morning? What are you going to give up for all that the Lord God has done in your life? True love comes at a cost. But you got to have something on the inside that'll hold you, that'll keep you, that'll keep you from blowing your cool when you ought to get upset. Something about Jesus that'll help you hold your tongue. See, I know that Jacob probably felt like, why would you do me that way? When we had an honest agreement that if I worked for you for 7 years, then you would let me have Rachel to be my wife. But then after those 7 years, he was tricked and the wife was Leah instead. But they lived in a time when a man could have more than one wife. And so don't get it twisted and think you can do that today. That's against the law now. So it's one wife at a time. Once you made that commitment and you walk through the mall and you see something that flicker your eye, you better close them eyes and start praying, because you're already on lockdown. True love comes at a cost. Don't play with God. All of this was done because God allowed it to happen for a reason. Jacob wouldn't even been able to trick Esau if there wasn't a reason that God knew that he had to bless Jacob But then didn't God come back and bless Esau anyway? When you feel like you've been mistreated or done the wrong way, don't give up your trust on God. You keep praying, you keep trusting, and whatever God has for you, it's going to come your way. It might not come when you want it, but God is an on-time God. True love comes at a cost.